Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today.
Are you looking for a nutritional supplement to help with your day-to-day vision needs? Look no further than MacuHealth. Recommended by doctors worldwide, MacuHealth offers a full line of products designed to support your vision and eye health. Available through eye care professionals on Amazon.com and directly on our website at MacuHealth.com. And here's the best part. Use the code OME24 when ordering direct from MacuHealth for special discounts. MacuHealth, nutrition you can see.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I am so excited to have been able to get Steve to be here with me. I follow him because he's a professional triathlete. And what's really cool about that, Steve, is that, as some people know, David's just starting into this. And he's a little older than you.
Just a couple years. It's okay.
And so I happened to see you at his first Ironman, and I was blown away. But anyway, let's back up. Thank you so much, Steve, for being here.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
So Dr. Steve Rosinski, he is Senior Manager, Professional and Academic Affairs for CooperVision, and a professional triathlete racing for the Real Tri Squad. Did I say it right?
You did. Yeah, it keeps him busy, to say the least.
And a father and a husband.
Yes. Yeah, you know, that's the one thing that I have to say is, you know, dust never collects around me by any means. And I would say if I'm not busy, then I'm going to make myself busy.
And I love that.
But it's all about just kind of take advantage of experiences and make memories and, you know, trying to make a difference.
You know, I think when we see people that are at companies that are as awesome as CooperVision, we just tend to think of you as a CooperVision guy. Nothing wrong with that, but you're a real person and you do a lot of amazing things. And I just wanted to get you on the show so you can talk to people a little bit more about that. So let's start with, what is your role with CooperVision and how did you fall into that?
Yeah, no, great. Yeah, it's this is a role I'd say that, honestly, if you would ask me, you know, 7-8 years ago, I would never have expected to be in this role. And what I mean by that is that, you know, when you're in optometry school, I really didn't even think I was even aware that a position like this even existed.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I look at the opportunities as an optometrist, I think that's one of the big things I love about the field, though, is that you can go in so many different directions. And so I found myself connecting with industry because of my love of contact lenses.
Yep.
You know, I'm a -9 myope. You know, I always like to say,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty high, right? So being able to have the opportunity to not only wear contact lenses and how much they've changed my life, but also with what we're doing from a myopia management perspective, myopia control. And, you know, when I think about it, I have 3 kids, right? And with a 4th on the way right now. So we have a 7-year-old. Thank you. Yeah. Like I said, I like to keep busy, to say the least. And I have an amazing wife that keeps me grounded as much as she can. But when I think about it, like with myopia management, myopia control, we have a ripe opportunity to really make a difference in the lives of children. And so I think about myself as a -9. I think about my kids, you know, almost 8, 5, and 3 with 1 due in November as well. And it's one of those things that, you know, I feel like I've been provided a megaphone to talk about how awesome contact lenses are, but also what we can do as optometrists in myopia management, myopia control.
Wow.
But from a perspective of getting into industry, I just started saying yes to things. I've always been wanting to get involved. I always enjoy going to conferences. I always enjoy networking. Some of the best conversations happen 11 o'clock at night, right? You know, with a gin and tonic in one hand and, you know, some other food in the other hand, right?
Wait a minute. Triathletes, they drink?
Sporadically.
They stay
especially
up
on off 11? Season.
Oh.
You know, that's where you're going to get me falling asleep, closer to like 11, 11:30, because I've probably been up since 5 o'clock trying to work out already, right? And so it's one of those things that, like, you know, when I looked at the opportunity to transition into industry, and I want to give a big kudos to Dr. Michelle Andrews, who is currently our vice president at CooperVision in marketing and professional affairs, and that she, you know, brought me into the company. And, you know, this was 5.5 years ago now, which is hard to believe.
Wow.
And so, you know, with this role, I love it because I feel like I have the opportunity to truly make a difference in, you know, my goals of getting as many patients into contact lenses as possible, helping doctors, helping students, and supporting them throughout their careers. And so now within my role at CooperVision, I have a number of different aspects. I feel like we're always, you know, if we're not involved with something, we're going to try to get involved with something else.
Right.
I think April, you and I are the same. For that
it's a problem sometimes.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes it's hard to say no. And I have a little FOMO, right? A little fear of missing out.
Yes, of course.
But I think that's natural with people, like with our personalities, right? And so I'd say a few different things that I do. I work with the schools and colleges of optometry, helping support the residents, the students, the faculty. That's one aspect of my role within academic affairs. Another aspect is supporting doctors and state associations and, you know, what we are trying to do legislative advocacy wise. And
right.
You know, we understand this is a legislative profession.
Yep.
And so we want to help support what the states are doing and also what we're doing from an AOA perspective. So I focus more on the East Coast side of the states. And then I also work with our marketing department and helping with our one day brand initiatives, whether it's bringing new products to market, making sure that the messaging sounding appropriately. And it's also fun because you get to do things like even developing fit sets, like saying,
oh,
what?
That's cool.
I mean, this lens that I literally am bringing to the market, we have the opportunity to say, like, let's take a data driven approach and give the most prescribed lenses, most commonly prescribed lenses in a fit set. And so, you know, I would say I do a number of different aspects of, you know, of things within CooperVision, but it's been great working for a company that is so invested within the optometric community. And what I mean by that is that we actually have 10 optometrists on our professional affairs team now.
That's amazing.
So it started with Dr. Michelle Andrews and Dr. Jen Palombi, and then I was the third optometrist to be hired, and now, you know, we have 7 more since that.
Yeah, it shows your passion for what you're really doing and that you do want to connect with us and make a difference for our patients. So you wear contacts, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got my MyDay Energys right in my eyes right now. And I got my first pair of contacts when I was 13, and you'll never take them out of me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't even know how you do that. I mean, as people must know, triathletes, you swim, you bike, you run. So, I mean, you can't carry an extra pair when you're in a triathlon.
You'd be surprised, actually. I do. I do. Because I had a moment back probably over 10 years ago that I was out riding. And this was actually when I was in my 4th year externship at the Tucson VA hospital. I was out riding and I was wearing a pair of daily disposables. And, you know, it was getting dusk and super dry environment.
Yeah.
And I ended up actually losing a contact lens and trying to drive or ride back those 30 miles without a contact lens in my right eye. I remember vividly, I was like, I will always have a pair of contact lenses on me at all times, essentially. I don't have it right now, but I'm also not working out like crazy at this moment as well. But yeah, so I always, usually when I'm racing, I have a little back pocket that I just slide it into, or in my bike, I always have one like attached to like, one of my like bike bags or something like that.
So David can be happy that he doesn't have to do that. You have one more thing to put in those pockets. And if you ever see these guys and gals, while they're running and riding and swimming, they have pockets everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make sure you got your nutrition on hand and sunscreen on hand and all that stuff too. But, you know, I'd say when I talk with triathletes a lot of times, especially in the swim portion of it because of the open water.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, and David can attest, I'm sure, with this too, is that if you're swimming towards a buoy, but all of a sudden you're swimming that way, you're swimming that way, then your 1.2-mile swim or your 2.4-mile swim turns into a mile and a half or almost a 3-mile swim because you're kind of snaking it as opposed to going the V-line, right?
Yeah.
And so it's important, the vision correction. And then I also get a lot of questions about sunglasses, about like sunglasses that you should be able to wear, about contact lenses so that you can see their Garmin. And I mean, I would say that when I look at triathlons, there are a lot of folks that are presbyopic now.
Yes.
And that are getting into triathlons. And
not that you are.
I'm not there just yet, although I am noticing a little lag as I'm going from my Garmin to distance and back and forth, right? So definitely get the lag. But that's just, you know, when I really think about the opportunities like for triathlons, but triathletes as well, they're like, well, what can you do to help me so I can be able to see everything and have one less thing to worry about throughout my race when I'm 4, 5, 6, 10 hours in?
And the first thing you can do is to make sure their kids don't develop as much myopia as you have.
Exactly. Well, it's getting them outside too. I think that's what's great about triathletes is that like we're outside and getting the kids outside. You know, I'm fortunate, you know, my kids, like they see what I do and they want to replicate what I do. And so actually my 7-year-old has already probably done like 6 or 7 little kids triathlons.
Oh my gosh.
My 5-year-old did the little kids duathlon the other day.
And, wow.
So yeah, it's just getting them out there and they love being outside, right? And you know, I'm not a big fan of getting them on devices, keeping them inside. And, you know, if, you know, also I think they're going to drive me nuts if they stay inside too, right? So it's like trying
to get
the
energy out.
You got that. I mean, you have two kids. You understand that?
Yeah. So I have to tell everybody, Steve, and I think I've told you the story. So I was with David in Chattanooga. And he was, it was his first Ironman, half, right? Yeah. So he was all excited. I was honestly super nervous for him. I didn't know what to expect. It was partly for him, partly I needed to make sure I knew where the bathroom was and the food, because I was going to be there all day too. But I remember leaving him. It was what, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning?
They start very early.
And it's dark still. And I'm walking by what I didn't know at the time was the professional triathlete area. And you were walking by, and I didn't know you that well, but I know what you look like. And I was like, what? Is that Steve? What is he doing here? This doesn't make sense. And you know, in your head, you're Cooper Vision.
Right.
You're not the athlete. And so I'm all confused. Oh my gosh, you should have. I look at the kids and I go, I could swear that's a guy I know. So then you went by another time, and I said, that is definitely him. So I text my friend who had your information. I said, is he a triathlete? And he goes, yes. And so then I found you and your ranking. I was so impressed. But
well,
later,
you.
So now I'm tracking you, right? Sorry, I know it sounds like it's a really weird thing, but
it's
no.
It's very common in the triathlon scene, very common.
So as you're coming around, so you had just transitioned from bike to run. And you come around the corner, and the part that just, I mean, it made me tear up. I thought, I don't know who's here watching him, but I'm going to take a picture just so he has it later. And as I go to take your picture and yell your name, I see and hear these little kids yelling, daddy, daddy, daddy. And I'm like, what is going on? I was so impressed. And they're running along with you on the outside.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Your family is absolutely fabulous.
No, well, thank you. Yeah, it's awesome that they can share these experiences, right? I mean, I've been racing professionally for 13 years. I'm definitely winding things down tremendously, right? And I'd say sunset tour. I'd say that's more what I'm more on. But, you know, trying to just, you know, develop these memories and these experiences and be able to have the family, be able to be there with me. And nothing's better. Like, your race could be going terribly, but then you see your child, like thinking that you're one of the best athletes in the world to him, right? And to her. And you know, giving them a high five. You're going to stop and really think about, like, what matters.
Yes.
And so it's like, but also to me, I want to showcase to them that like you finish what you started as well.
Wow.
And so it's like, you know, you put the effort in, you put all this training in, so you got to finish. And I got to remember this. I'm racing an Ironman in Frankfurt, Germany in 4 weeks. And so, you know, when I think about that, this will be my seventh attempt at Ironman. I've completed four. Didn't finish two previously. I think back in the day, like it was all about like going as hard as you can. And if you drop, if you didn't hit like the top 10 or the podium as a professional athlete, then a lot of times it's like, let's save it for the next day. But now the priorities have changed. And now it's really just trying to enjoy the experience of being out there. Cause I don't know how much longer my body's going to enable me to be doing what I'm doing. And so take full advantage of every opportunity. And I think that talks about life in general though, right?
Yes.
Like saying yes to whatever, you're at optometry school, you have the opportunity to go to a conference, whether you have the opportunity to go to a friend's wedding, but you got something else going on and that's important. Like, it's just taking advantage of the opportunities. And, you know, I don't want to be corny, but I can say living life to the fullest.
Like, yes.
You know, because, you know, you only have one opportunity, right?
We are excited to have Cooper Vision as a sponsor of our podcast. Cooper Vision is one of the world's leading contact lens manufacturers, and they serve eye care professionals and patients in over 130 countries. Their innovative products help millions of patients see every single day. One of the technologies and innovations that we love the most about Cooper Vision is their groundbreaking technology in soft contact lenses that helps to slow the progression of myopia in children 8 to 12 years old at the initiation of treatment.
I'm just impressed your attitude is that now, because so many of us, and I think that David and I tried really hard as we were raising the kids. We were the odd ones that took the kids with us everywhere, every conference. I mean, everybody, we're here at the FOA convention. Everybody knows our kids. When they show up, they're going to know more people honestly than I do sometimes. And we lived that way. And I see you doing this at an early age and the kids being so young. And I will tell you, I think it's the best move you're making. And I love that you're sharing it with other people, because I will tell you also, students now, they're having these questions. At least that's what they're asking me, is how do I put life and my family and my career all together? And you're not only doing that, but also your sport, your extracurricular activities. It's amazing. So go to the students for a minute for me. And knowing that that's one of the things I think they have a question about, you can tell me, you're around them more than I am. What else do you think they're challenged with, and what words of wisdom would you give them?
Yeah, no, I'd say, you know, I have the fortunate opportunity to work with the students. And, you know, I love the students and working with them because they're hungry.
Yes. Right?
Like they want to take it all in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see some students that are so involved, and I feel like, you know, I have that instantaneous connection because I see what I was trying to be like and what they're doing as well. And, you know, I'd say the biggest thing is still find time for yourself. And that today is still like, and that's been true, I would say, even in optometry school, even throughout. I mean, I was fortunate. I ran track in college, in undergrad. I went to Ohio State for optometry school, had some eligibility left over. So I actually ran track my first year of optometry school at Ohio State even. I wouldn't recommend it. That's a whole other story we can get down. I wouldn't recommend it at all. But that's just who I am from a personality wise. But like, I always found time to like give an hour to yourself, whether your passion is, going and, reading, right? If that's a passion, if you like to check out different restaurants and things of that sort, always find that time for yourself, because I find if once I've been able to get that hour done, whether it's at 5 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock at night or whenever it is, like, I feel like my day is going to be better.
Yep.
But it's planning for that, right? Because you can get caught up easily, and especially in this day and age, going on Instagram, going on TikTok, you can easily catch yourself, and 30 minutes later, you've wasted that time.
Right.
And so being efficient. But from a student perspective, it's just, do what you can to still find who you are and be able to leverage the opportunities that you're given. And so if you only have an hour, take advantage of that hour. If you only have 30 minutes, take advantage of that 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's trying to be able to still think about what is your passion. Because when you leave optometry school, or maybe even when you get into your fourth year of optometry school, you're going to start having that time back. And so many students that I've talked to, or even classmates of mine, they're like, oh, I took 3 or 4 years off and now I'm trying to get back into it. It's harder.
Yes.
So if you have passion, especially maybe first year or second year students, that you have those passions, continue with those, continue to, think about it from that regard. And that's where I'm fortunate now, is that I've just been consistent. And I think it's like, if you just continue to put that step forward, and that's just from what you find, what's important to you, then you're going to continue to hopefully make time for it. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be days when you have finals or you're studying for boards. Like, you can't have as much time, but at the same point, still find that time.
Yes. Okay, so when did you become a professional triathlete?
Yeah, so I would say because of Ohio State and the opportunities that enabled me, from whether it was like, having, going to football games, whether it was, being involved in the track team, I was kind of sick and tired of just getting hurt all the time just from running. Like, literally in college, we were running 100 miles a week. Like,
holy
and
cow.
It beat up my body. And so one of my good buddies is, he's like, hey, you have a road bike and you know how to run. Why don't you try to do a triathlon? And I was like, I've never swam in my life, right? Like, besides, like, in the backyard of my friend's pools, right?
Oh, so, my gosh.
So at, 22 years of age, I started training with the Ohio State Triathlon Club. And so I just kind of dipped my toes in, and I was kind of blown away at how difficult the swimming aspect of it really was, because, I was like, oh, I'm a collegiate runner. I can run, like a 4:14 mile at this time. But I tried to swim one lap and I just was gassed. And I said,
you didn't look so good in the pool,
no,
did you?
It was not good. But just who I am, I was like, well, I want to do this. I'm motivated. Let's get after it. And so I put a good amount of time. And then so I started having success with triathlon because I started enjoying it and doing something different. And so I always had the run in the bag. Cycling started coming around because I love about cycling, and David, you can attest to this, is like, you actually get somewhere when you ride. Like, you can go, like, in 2 hours, you can go 40 miles, which is pretty remarkable. And, if you want to stop at a cafe and grab a latte, perfect. You can do that too. But it was just one of those things that I started still using that time as a part of the triathlon club, and I started actually competing in like the collegiate national championships for triathlon. And then so I got pretty serious into it my fourth year of optometry school. One of my rotations, as I said before, was in Tucson, Arizona. And, you know, at that time, in the wintertime, I was there for that winter rotation at the VA hospital. Some of the best triathletes, the best cyclists in the world go there.
Train there.
Because it's some of the best training. You get everyone together. And I remember showing up in Team Radio Shack, which was like the big Lance Armstrong team back in the day, was there. And I was like, I'm going to stay with these guys as long as I possibly can. And there's this bike ride called the Shootout. And every Saturday morning, they meet at a certain time. And
yeah.
Like for me, I was like, I ended up meeting a lot of good connections there. And so going back to connections and networking and people that were equally passionate or even more passionate than I was. And so I continued to learn from them. And I started, you know, really diving more into triathlons. And so essentially my first half Ironman out of optometry school, the summer after optometry school, which was a very busy summer anyways, because I got married that year and moved up to Rochester, New York, where I was as well. And I ended up winning my first half Ironman from an amateur status.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was very, very fortunate. And at that point, the following year, because of that race was considered like a qualifier race to race professionally, I was able to jump into the pro scenes. And that was, 2000. So I started my first race season in 2012 as like a professional. And, you know, I would say I did the whole thing like where I was practicing maybe 2-3 days a week in the beginning and during the race season, because I had to follow the pro calendar, whether it took you across the country, whether it took you in other places throughout the world.
Wow.
It was just a great experience.
Yeah.
And got to visit some cool places, and I brought my wife along so that she could experience those as well. And so, I mean, now we're thinking 13 seasons later. I'm definitely the old man on the scene. Most of these guys are like, you know, 26, 27, 28, and no kids. But I wouldn't have it any other way, because the way I look at it is like, if I can still try to compete at that level, I'm going to as long as I can. Yeah.
So you must be a person who sets goals. And I want to kind of close with that. Do you feel like, I mean, I think, how do I word this? I think that sometimes we get through optometry school and we're just like, oh my gosh, thank goodness that's done. And now I'm on to life. But what I found was this whole idea of goal setting became so important, even in practice. I set goals for how many patients I was going to see every day. I set goals for how many patients I was going to put in a multifocal contact lens. I set goals for myopia control. I want to make sure that this many patients, and I do it because I feel like if I don't have a goal, then at the end of the day, the end of the month, I've gotten nowhere. And I look at myself and go, well, why did that not happen? And that was really something that was important to me. So you have obviously been a fan of goal setting. How has it impacted your life? And do you think that it makes any sense for students as they think of exiting now optometry school and being in the real world? What should they be thinking about there, and how can it influence their life going forward?
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, you always have to have something to shoot for.
Yeah.
And you know, I find that for me, it's just, I'm a person that really just can't settle. And so I think that's just, when I think about goals, like, it's important to have those short-term goals that are attainable, that you can, that can really kind of give you a benchmark. Maybe it's what you're going to do today, right? What you're going to do next week, maybe next year, but then also have those goals that are, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years out as well.
Yeah.
I think that's important. And I know sometimes people say, well, write those goals down and then go back and visit them. I mean, whatever it takes for you to continue to be motivated and think about, like, what's next. And because if you don't have those goals, I mean, you don't have to tell anybody, right? You can have your own secret goals, right? Or you can write them down.
I made David tell everybody.
Well, I think about it even from a staff perspective side. Like when you have your own practice, and unless you all are kind of going towards a common goal, it's hard for everyone to be aligned.
Yep.
And so I think across the board, if you can engage people and bring them into that community, your community circle, and they'll also hold you accountable as well.
Yeah.
And I love that accountability too, because I always try to find people around me that are going to make me a better person and make me, help me get to my goals. But at the same time, like, you ultimately, they're helping you, but at the same time, you're going to help them as well.
Yeah.
And so, have those goals, whether they're professional, whether they're personal, it's just setting those goals. And even if it's lofty, right? Like, I feel like I have this like A goal, this B goal. And sometimes I really think about, maybe it's like this A plus goal that's way out there, but you still got to have dreams, right? You still got to hope for it. Right?
What's any goals you can share with us? Or are you keeping yours close to your heart right now?
You know, I would say at this point, from a triathlon perspective, it would be, getting through this next Ironman Frankfurt in a time I'm not going to say yet, just because I don't want to be out there. Because I might not hit it, but you know, I'm going to try my hardest.
You'll tell us after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. We'll see.
Is your family going to be able to go to this one?
So my wife will be. Trying to limit the kids, and we want some time to ourselves. A little baby moon, I'd say, before we expect our fourth due in November, which is going to add to the chaos.
But I wouldn't
have it any other way.
So that's one goal.
Professionally, you know, I'm always seeing like, what can we do to help grow myopia control, myopia management? When we think about all the optometrists out there, I mean, we partnered with AOA and our Myopia Collective this past year here in June. We made a big splash optometry meeting. And honestly, like as an optometrist, as a father, we have a ripe opportunity to help really change the course of where a lot of these children are going. And so I urge you as optometry students, I urge optometrists to really, you know, jump on board and sign up to be part of this Myopia Collective that we have in partnership with the AOA, because honestly, together, it's only going to help us get to the point where we can make that maximum impact. And so from a goals perspective, I don't have a quantifiable goal, but I want to see more and more and more children, you know, having their opportunity to not be as nearsighted. I mean, I wake up every morning trying to find on my nightstand.
Yep.
Sometimes my wife puts my glasses over there. She's mad at me, right? So I won't get them, right? But but in reality, though, it's you know, what can we do from the profession? And also, I think as a contact lens wearer, someone who's obsessed with contacts, it's just, I would say, getting more patients into contacts. There's some stats I've heard about. There's about 50 million more contact lens wearers here in the United States that are interested in wearing contact lenses in some capacity. That would more than double the market. But the problem is a lot of times they're just not told of their options. And so I urge optometrists, I urge students, I urge eye care providers of all different aspects to, you know, introduce new technologies, introduce contact lenses to your patients, and be that resource for your patients as well. Because if it doesn't come from us a lot of times, then they're not going to think that they're candidates for it. So continuing my goal of just getting more patients in contact lenses. I think the overarching reason why I chose to go into industry was the fact that I was helping maybe 2,000-3,000 patients a year when I was in full-time care.
Yep.
And now I feel like I have the opportunity to help 2,000-3,000, maybe more, thousands of optometrists, thousands of students make an impact on the lives of millions of patients.
Yes.
And so if we can continue to push that, continue to have that goal, that's, you know, I'd say some of my top reasons for the, you know, this opportunity that I have.
Yeah.
And literally I'm providing a megaphone right now. So thank
you,
April,
for
this opportunity. Just, you know, be passionate about it and continue to, continue to really, you know, push the boundaries of what we can do as optometrists.
I promise everyone that this podcast is inspiring and educational. You have taught us all how to be triathletes.
Getting up early, getting no sleep.
There you go. And to have an amazing family life and to set goals and be successful personally and professionally. Steve, you are incredible. Thank you.
No, well, I appreciate the opportunity. And honestly, when I really look at every single person, it's, you know, just think that you can do more. Continue to say yes. It's really, you're going to surprise yourself with what you can accomplish.
So here's what I will predict. Steve does not know that he's going to do this, but I know he is. He's going to write a book. Maybe he's not ready yet, but he and his wife are going to write a book. I will buy it. I will read it. And that's going to be one of your goals down the road. I have a way of knowing these things.
You know, that actually sounds pretty interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a new goal of mine.
Yeah. Start keeping track of all these images, the pictures you guys have from all the years. And it's going to be something that I truly believe you are very unique in what you're doing and what you have done. And it would be something that would really help so many people. Even though you're doing it now, this megaphone is good, but there's a book in your future.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. And so, you know, continue to follow along. Dr. Steve Rosinski on Instagram. And I actually was told I should probably change my Instagram handle to Triathletes with Presbyopia pretty soon. And I thought that was kind of funny, but I'm not there just yet.
Well, you might want to hold it just in case. Don't let somebody else get it. They're going to hear this and take it.
So I better grab it quickly.
Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for watching, listening. And I know you're going to think this is one of the best shows you've heard. So thanks again.
Thank you, everyone.